I have money. I have a credit card I want to buy right now.
So, awesome. No, Will.
Hold on. So what you're saying is the SDR can qualify me, but he can't take yes for an answer.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Boo.
Boo-hoo.
No. It's not a joke. It's Halloween.
Oh.
And the question is, are you masked as somebody begging for candy? That's what people do. They go out and they beg for candy. And they go, trick or treat, but you know it's going to be a treat, correct?
I mean, in my neighborhood growing up, actually, someone used to give away toothbrushes, which really wasn't a treat, but like all the parents were happy because of all the candy. I think he was a dentist, and someone else would give away dollar bills.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love the dollar bill guy.
I know.
He had a long line at his house.
Jeffrey, all things being equal, people love to go trick-or-treating with their friends.
That's correct. I have to tell you a tragic story about Halloween. One night, I was in the second grade or the third grade at the most. I went out in Margate and I trick-or-treated all over the place. Candy apples and all kinds of things were given away. And I came home and I put my bag down and all of a sudden there was like a late rush of people and my mom gave my stuff away.
Tragic.
Oh my God. It was.
You're still getting over it.
I was crying my. Yeah, well, it was only 65 years ago. So
if that happened now, you would end up on Jimmy Kimmel.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'd go viral.
Exactly. My mother gave my stuff away.
Yeah.
So my dad took me around the neighborhood again and we got more candy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad to
exactly.
hear that.
It had a happy
I was
ending,
worried.
But there was a tragedy involved in the middle. I mean, your mother gives your candy away. Come on. I finally got over
to
it.
To strangers.
Yeah. I got it. I forgave
all right,
her
so,
when
you
I
know,
went
this
to
is sell
my
or
first
die.
Day of college. I forgave her.
And there's nothing like Jewish guilt, so I'm
no.
sure you let her know about it.
My
for
mother
a while.
In her house coat running down the driveway screaming, "Take pre-med, you can always switch."
So, should
yeah,
we like
so, happy Halloween. It's going to be a great day. There's going to be a lot of candy involved. If you have children, they're going to come home with a big basket of stuff and you're going to say, "We're going to eat this tomorrow." And then they go to bed and you eat it all. I know who you are. I know your tricks. Okay, so Jen.
Well, do you want to like
my name's Jeffrey Gittimer. Wait,
wait. Who are you, Jeffrey?
My name's Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and on my right is...
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And together we are the Sell or Die hosts. We are the we're picking up steam with this podcast. People really like it.
All the Sell or Die hards out there.
The diehards, yeah, right? Die we hards. Have a bunch of diehards, and it's absolutely incredible. This is going to be an amazing Halloween treat of a show.
I agree. Coming up, we have a great guest on the show, Morgan Ingram, and he's an SDR. He's going to talk
he's
to
a
us.
What?
SDR.
What does that mean?
Sales Development Representative.
Aha. Okay, cool. So if you give initials, dude, you better be prepared to define them.
He also hosts the SDR Chronicles on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
he's
yeah,
one
yeah,
of the
yeah.
few SDRs out there who has his own show just on selling. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him and we'll get into that. But before we do, since it's Halloween.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about the scariest thing you can hear on a sales call.
Yes. I would say the scariest thing you can hear on a sales call is, Mr. Jones had to leave for an emergency. He won't be here today. You arrive at your appointment, you're 10 minutes early, and some person at the front desk says, "You're screwed."
And you've driven two and a half hours to get there.
And you're pissed off. Right, and you're pissed off.
So what do you do?
You thank them. And you make another appointment to come back.
Yeah, but you're in the area. Why not do some cold calls while you're out
there?
Talking
about what you did at that person's place.
Oh, okay.
You definitely pull up your Map Anything, app. Yeah, of course. MapAnything.com. Go there immediately and download it. And then call them up and subscribe. And you'll find another 20 places that you can call on within a mile of where you are.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. This just turned into a commercial for Map Anything. I don't think it meant to be.
No, but they're worth it. So go for it. That's a very interesting thing. And the worst part is it's ruined your attitude. Like the worst part about that, the guy doesn't show up.
You need to take a break and recover.
Right.
You can't just go have a cup of coffee. Let me go find other people out there.
Get over it. Yeah. Say hello to both your friends. Do something that gets you in a better mood.
I think you have to put in perspective. If the prospect had to run out because of an emergency, he's obviously having a worse day than you are.
That's true.
Okay? You've just had a canceled appointment.
Sometimes they just flat don't show. I mean, sometimes it's just a rebuff because you're only a salesperson. But either way, you have to get over it and get on with it.
Agreed.
The person is in a deficit position. Take advantage of that. Make certain that you send them some kind of note saying, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm in sales, but I believe I can help you. So I'm coming back.
So the scariest thing you can hear on a sales call, what you're saying is it's actually nothing.
Right. It's the scariest thing you hear. hey, it ain't that deep.
But it's like the customer has ghosted out of there.
Exactly. Uh-oh,
you're previewing our next segment. So Jen, what's the scariest thing that you can hear on a sales call?
I don't want to agree with Jeffrey. I would prefer to disagree with Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Because it makes better entertainment. But
but I'm right.
But I happen to agree that if the customer's not there, it's a major party foul. Like, exactly. How do you move on from that? What do you do? You know?
Hey, is there anybody else here that can sign a check? I just came for the money. Is the money ready?
But also, you know, if you're deep into conversation and it's maybe not the first sales call, but you've visited with them multiple times, and now you think you're going to close the deal, and all of a sudden they say, "Oh, we can't do it anymore. We're so sorry.
Oh, we just bought from somebody else.
We're so sorry we wasted all your time, but we wanted to meet with you in person to tell you that we can't move forward." Okay, and you're already counting that commission.
Right.
That's pretty scary, too.
Bragging too soon is one of the dumbest things you can do in sales. When you have a great meeting with somebody and they tell you to come back or call back, and it's a great meeting. Yeah, the guy's going to, he said he was going to, blah, 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 blah. Did you get a contract? No. Well, he said Wednesday. You have nothing.
It's so funny because when I was managing salespeople, we would have these pipeline calls and, you know, we'd go through their pipeline and some people would be in the exact same stage of the sale. Okay. They'd be like ready to give the proposal. Let's just say like the client actually wanted the proposal next.
Uh-huh.
You have two salespeople. Uh-huh. One is all eager, like, yeah, I'm giving them the proposal tomorrow. They're totally moving forward. I know I got this sale. You can count it in the bank for, you know, for upper management, not a problem. And the other one is like, well, I'm not really sure. I'm giving them they just lowball it because they don't want to get you too excited and they'd rather surprise you when they come in with the sale.
Exactly.
I'd rather the person be realistic and lowball me than over eager about what they're saying.
Well, to me, the salesperson needs to explain more about how they're going to do it, not that it's done. So, for example, they come back from the sales call. They're all jacked up about it. And they say, I have one more step and here's how I'm going to do it. Or I've made an appointment with somebody and here's what's going to happen as a result of it. And that's what they have to say their plan.
Exactly. Say what's going on in the game plan.
Not just brag.
I agree. Okay. I totally agree.
And that makes it, to me, a lot more real. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just, you know, big talk, no action. All right. BTNA.
I have one more scary thing that you can hear on a sales call.
Monster Chiller Horror Theater. If anyone knows what Monster Chiller Horror Theater is, please email sellordie@gitomer.com.
But anyone can Google it.
So?
Yeah, don't cheat.
Don't
put your phones away.
Yeah, but whatever don't Google it. Monster Chiller Horror Theater, and then go watch a few clips of it. It's hysterical.
All right. What's up, Doug?
The scariest thing that you can hear on a sales call is yourself.
Whoa!
Recording your sales call this and listening back
I
to it.
I love that.
That's very
scary.
Well
love that.
Done, Doug.
That's very scary.
That is really
very
scary.
Well done. Yep, that's it. Okay, so now, very that was pretty good, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, that was really
I'm trying.
Good.
You're in production. This is phenomenal. You want to sit next to us? You could be our guest next
Listen,
week.
I host a podcast as well, and the scariest thing for me is to listen back to what I'm saying because I'm anticipating the mistakes.
Yeah, but you have a good voice. You
yeah, you do have
that.
A radio voice, and you're yeah. thinking, so you're fine.
Yeah, I'm yeah. fine.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right.
So is it time to get on with the show? Or
no, it's not time to get on with the show. Not yet, Jeffrey. We have to talk about costumes.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna dress up as a cheap bastard.
What does that entail?
It just look like a customer.
Yeah, so you're going to like hold a money sign around your neck and then put an X through it?
No, you dress up in clothing that looks like you're a millennial.
But millennials aren't cheap bastards.
No, not all of them, but they look ragged.
Huh.
Padlock around the wallet.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, that's not a bad idea.
That could be cool
yeah,
to do.
Padlock around the... Yeah. Doug is getting better at this than
I
we
love
are,
that.
By the way.
So what about being the customer that ghosts?
Oh, that's cool.
The ghosting
So you put a sheet
customer.
Over your head and you call yourself an unreturned phone call?
Yeah.
Or a non-respondent to a proposal that's been spent... You could go as a cricket.
You could
go as a cricket.
You could go as all the things salespeople blame instead of take responsibility on.
That's cool.
So ghost is one example.
Yep.
Price is too high.
Yep. Guy wouldn't return my call.
Oh, yeah.
Guy took a lower bid.
It wasn't me. It was them.
Yeah, they said they
it's
already.
It's not my fault.
They were already doing. No, the guy said he wasn't interested. Hey, why don't you go as an interesting person? That's a rare costume for a salesperson.
What about the fairy godmother who can create all of your wishes,
ooh,
but then can't deliver?
Ooh. Gabrielle's Christmas list is her number one thing she wanted was a real magic wand.
Where do you even buy
Come
a
on.
Real magic wand? That's hysterical.
What's the imagination that went into that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what was she trying to do? Anyway, I think salespeople need a magic wand. They need to carry their magic wand with them so that when they get the customer and the customer says, "Ah, we're not really interested," you go, "Listen, pal, I brought this magic wand with me." And I'm telling you right now, don't make me use it.
I think they need to carry their magic wand in their head yeah. as their mentality.
How about the sales manager werewolf? Where's my quota? Where are my sales?
Oh, that's
I love
great.
That.
That's
I love
absolutely
that.
Great.
Where's my brain?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where's my people? Where's my cold call minimum? Oh, my God. Think of what sales managers do to get. You have to make 100 calls a day. Okay, why? Well, because the more people you talk to, the more sales you're going to make. Okay, great. Well, I've talked to 3 people so far, and I made 3 sales. Any questions on that? And I didn't make a cold call.
Yeah, but that's not typical. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the real world of sales is a little bit depressing because what happens is more people will tell you no than will tell you yes. And you have to be able to take, you know, yeah, I'm imagining you're out on Halloween right now. You're going trick-or-treating, and 5 people in a row say, "We're out of candy."
They don't even say they're out of candy anymore. They just put a sign up.
So
Do
you give up? Do you give up? Or do you go to the next house? You go to the next house. So why in sales would you give up after 3 or 4 no's? And the answer is because you have no creativity. There's nothing left to say. There's no value to be provided.
How far do you think a kid would walk in their neighborhood?
Miles.
To get that last piece of candy
Whatever,
on Halloween.
It didn't matter.
They'd keep walking.
Right. Until their mother said, "Come home, Bobby."
Yeah. Maybe past that time, but...
But listen, the bottom line is
selling.
The bottom line is they're going for it. And speaking of going for it, let's go for our show this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Morgan Ingram.
Morgan Ingram, you want to introduce him?
He's the host of the SDR Chronicles on YouTube. He's also a manager and sales development rep for Terminus. Very interesting guest.
And I want to tell you that I'm going to just give you a preview. This guy is ground level salesperson. And he is understanding of the process, and he has to buck the policy of the company. Let's listen to Morgan, and let's take the insight from his lessons and put them into practice in your business. Hey, what's a sales development rep? Is that like a sales guy?
Great, great question. So sales development rep is the bridge between an account executive and, of course, a sales development rep in themselves. And so what they're trying to do is generate awareness and interaction between a net new account to pass off to an account executive to close. So it is the demand generation operation of the sales function that allows a qualification of the passing of the accounts.
Got you. So they don't actually close the deal. They develop the qualification of the prospect.
Correct. It's all about reaching out to the account based on intent, persona, and their KPIs, what that account is doing, what your solution is, and just generating that personalized message for that prospect so in return they get more excited to hop on the call with the account executive to close.
Suppose the guy on the other end says, hey, I just want to buy. Is the SDR person allowed to make the sale?
That's a really good question. So
it is a really good question.
It is a good question. So
no, it's a damn good question. Morgan, this is a damn good question.
It's probably the best question I've ever heard. So overall, it's taking that prospect, and ultimately the account executive has to be the one to close because obviously the specialist is the account executive and the SDR is more so the entry-level position, getting yourself ready to be that sales professional.
But I don't want anybody else. I have money. I have a credit card I want to buy right now.
So awesome.
Hold on. So what you're saying is the SDR can qualify me, but he can't take yes for an answer.
According to most organizations, I'm just telling you based on what my organization does. Now, another organization could be like, yeah, we're doing it right now. But if a person wants to buy, obviously, we're going to hook them up with a person who's an account executive to go ahead and just buy on the spot if he's ready. But we have to make sure that that customer at the end of the day, that their use case fits with our solution. So customer success is getting the right people for our business.
What's crazy is that I might be ready to buy right now.
Yeah.
But if you can't get that account exec on the line right now, conference him in or her in right now to close me, I'm going to walk away and I might find someone else who is ready to sell to me.
Great point. So we need the great point. So that's why an account executive would immediately be able to hop on the call because account executives are always ready because as a salesperson, it's a 24/7 deal.
But I think what I'm hearing is from Morgan is that their companies won't allow them. Morgan, would you like to close the sale if you could?
100%.
So how does the commission work?
So it depends on the organization as well, because most organizations are like, hey, they want the SDR to have complete control of the process. So they would get, based on the completion of the conversation done by the account executive, paid on that level. Now, some companies incentivize on other type of levels, as in demo one got completed, it got moved to interest, and then close one, and their pay is based on the sales cycle and basically the interest and awareness that they promoted into that account to the transition. So either way is way people get paid overall, but it really does depend on the business on how they are promoting their SDR behaviors.
Let me uncomplicate that for people who are listening to this that are over 50 years old. If you transfer a lead that's qualified, you get X. If the guy on the other end makes the sale, you get X plus Y.
Are you saying 50-year-old people and older couldn't understand that?
I'm telling you exactly.
I don't know, Jeffrey. Of all there's people, too many three-letter initials in there. I don't discriminatory.
There's too many. The only three-letter.
But you're over 50.
Yeah.
You're like 51.
Right. So I would say WTF. That's my three-letter initial. And I would do it on the basis of why can't the SDR make a WTF sale?
Oh, man. All right. So, Morgan, let's talk about you. How long have you been an SDR?
Yeah.
So, I was an SDR for a year and then got promoted to SDR manager. I've been an SDR manager for 7 months now.
Whoa.
Oh, cool.
What kind of training do you get to go from salesperson to sales manager?
So the sales training that I got was the basically sitting in one-on-ones that my manager was doing. So observing mm-hmm. how they're done, the procedure of those, sitting with other leaders in the company, telling me here's like the expectations of what needs to happen, some leadership development sessions. The majority of stuff that I did to prepare myself for a leadership role was to read different person development books on leadership, mainly John C. Maxwell, because I believe he is the center point of leadership. And that's how I really took my role when I started. And really just, I just used my psychology emphasis and things that I understood to implement into the strengths of my reps so that they could become better.
Do you think you got enough training?
To be candid, I feel like I say that I could have definitely gotten more training. But personally, I felt like I was ready to go into it. And, you know, in a startup mode, things move fast. So, you know, I didn't get the, you know, 6 month training or 3 month training. It was like, hey, look, you know, you're about to move in this position based on the things that you've done. Like, here's some things that we're going to prepare you for. But it's kind of like, hey, like, you're here and like, you know, we trust in you, like, you know, good luck, right? So I think I could have definitely had more training, but I feel like the training I had definitely prepared me for the role.
What do you wish you would have known that you now know?
Biggest thing for me when I got in the role was because I was in the SDR team, I have a lot of good friends that are on the team, and being able to separate between like being like a good friend and like, yo, what's up, man, to like, all right, like I'm a manager, like you need to actually do this, like, or like you need to perform. I think that was like the toughest thing for me because I have a lot of good friends, and it was like I had to direct that and kind of put the management hat on to be like, hey, these are the things that you need to like excel on. These are things that you're like sucking at, and like you need to perform better.
Well, let me throw something at you. You can go from a darn good manager to a person who has established a leadership position in the entire field by teaching the SDR that they in fact can close a sale, that they in fact can make a sale at the end of this thing, rather than turning it over to some sales guy that might screw it up. Or how to engage deeply enough to make a sale. Fuck their policy.
A lot of companies have a policy where the SDR is not allowed to close the sale.
Okay.
I disagree with it. You disagree with it.
The world would disagree with it.
Morgan to get in trouble based on our advice.
Morgan, wait a minute. How many of your peers have a YouTube channel?
None. I'm the only one.
Yeah. I wonder why that is, Morgan.
Wonder why I'm the only one who has a YouTube channel?
Yeah. You're the only one who has the balls to do it.
Okay. So let's talk about your show. It's called the SDR Chronicles.
Yeah.
And why'd you start it?
It was a multitude of reasons. So number one was Ralph Barcy. Don't know if you guys are familiar with him, sales development leader. He wrote a blog post on SDRs getting out of obscurity. And one of the things in there said, an SDR needs to start a YouTube channel. So I read this a month before I started at Terminus. I had already got accepted to start there as an SDR. And so I video messaged him and I was like, hey man, I'm going to do this. And he's like, okay, we'll see. And I was like, all right. And then I saw Gary Vaynerchuk live, and he was talking about how building a brand is going to be super important for people in the future, and how that will help you get more visibility and exposure in what you're doing and be able to build your skill set. So I took both of their points and I was like, I really want to do a YouTube channel. So I started my first video. I sent it to a couple people that, you know, I respected. I was like, hey, you know, I know you guys post stuff on sales development. Check out this channel. They liked it. They shared it. And then I just kept moving with it and consistently every single week posting at least 1 to 3 videos for the past year and 2 months it's been now. So with that, obviously elevated the brand, showed that I knew what I was talking about, just shared my story as a sales development rep, which helped me gain certain connections in the space that I wouldn't have gotten regardless, and also helped me elevate my brand to a level that most people seek to get to but just aren't willing to put themselves out there, which is a risk in itself, but I was confident.
Well, and you're articulate. So it's not just a matter of confidence. You create a smooth message.
Do you think it helped with your promotion?
Yes, 100%. It definitely catapulted that.
Okay, so do you know your own stats on YouTube? Do you know how many subscribers you have, how many views you have, and stuff like that?
Yeah, so 26,000 views, 755 subscribers. Most viewed video has like 2,500 views.
756 subscribers, because I just subscribed.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, so there we go. But what I want to find out is, could you do a couple more controversial videos so you could get more views and get more subscribers?
I definitely could. I definitely could be a lot more controversial and attack the grain. I've just stuck to my truths in the beginning because I wanted people to understand the rawness of like who I am. This isn't something I just made up like in my basement, like, oh yeah, I'm just making stuff up. It was like, I really want to articulate like what I'm doing in this SDR role, like what I'm not doing well at. now I'm really focused on leadership because I'm in it, and also like topics that people are steering away from. And I'm like, no, I don't agree with that at all.
So why don't you talk about making a sale with an SDR?
you really love that topic, don't you?
Listen, if a guy wants to buy, why the hell wouldn't you take their money?
That's the greatest question of the day. So exactly. I guess my question to you is if you like, if an SDR is like, hey, look, there's someone who wants to buy right now and they're supposed to hand off to the account executive, would you tell that SDR just go ahead and just like, hey, just go ahead and just close
the deal? Of course
I would.
If it
were my company,
I would fire the guy if he didn't.
Take their money.
Dude, here it is. It's not even on a silver platter. It's on a silver credit card.
So besides this kind of challenge for an SDR, of not being always able to take the sale, what are some of the other challenges that SDRs face on a day-to-day basis?
You face constant rejection, like regardless if it's phone. Like you're walking into work every single day knowing you're going to get rejected, essentially. So you have to have a mental aptitude that's very strong or you will lose in this job. I believe that you could be very skillful, but if your mental toughness isn't there, you're just not going to be able to perform. So that I think that's part of it. I think another hard part of the job as an SDR, if there's no support from your management team or another function such as marketing, that's not helping you reach out to these accounts. Because if you don't have help and you're going in blind and your messaging isn't good and your cold calling skills are not good and you're not being coached effectively, you're going to sound like every other SDR and you're going to suck and you're going to want to quit and you're going to think it's on you. But it really was because maybe management didn't give you the right direction or because marketing didn't give you the right resources.
I'll give you a couple.
I think those are the main challenges.
Let me give you one idea of what you can do to have a little more fun. You get a guy on the phone and he says, nah, thanks, but we're not interested. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, wow, thank you for not being interested. It normally takes me four people to tell me not interested before I can get one that is interested. Now, you're only the second guy this morning that's told me not interested. Do you happen to know anybody else that might not be interested?
Please tell me you've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Okay, so now, but let me give you the real reason. When somebody says I'm not interested, that means you're not interesting. So as an SDR, you better be interesting, correct?
Correct. You have to provide value. I think I always try to flip the script on every single prospect that tries to do something crazy. So if someone says they're walking into a meeting, I'll be like, great, I'm actually walking to a meeting right now. I have 30 seconds. So I always will flip the script on the prospect to be interesting enough to provide them some type of value. Because if you're like everybody else, like, oh, well, okay, like when's the best time to call you back? It's like, you're just another SDR and they're going to treat you just like another person.
Yeah.
I love that. That's well said.
You SDR, you.
So one of the things you mentioned was needing mental toughness. Where does yours come from?
Yeah.
My mental toughness comes from just having a really big chip on my shoulder. I've been growing up, I've always been counted out. So I'm the oldest in the family out of three brothers. So two of my younger brothers are on paper, both smarter than me. So I never got like, I was always considered like, oh, you're so-and-so's brother, not like the older brother. Based on that, I've always had the chip on my shoulder. So I was like, I need to have mental toughness to go through this because I'm facing adversity from like the get-go. So
did you get support from your family for it?
I got support, but like I had enough EQ in myself to realize that like I have to kind of do things by myself.
You're talking a lot of abbreviations.
Yeah.
is that
well, that's a millennial
emotional
thing.
Intelligence.
I mean, I know what it is, but you know, I want to make sure all of our listeners are with us right now. All right,
I do talk a lot of abbreviations. I got you. Cool. So, I had a lot of emotional intelligence about myself, and I realized that okay, like I need to start reading a lot of personal development books. I need to start getting myself locked in. And one of the biggest things that I did was in college. Instead of listening to music or like hip hop or like whatever EDM, like electronic music, I decided to listen to only motivational like videos like Eric Thomas or like Tony Robbins. And I listened to that throughout college as I went to like the grocery store, like I was studying, and I ingrained myself with so much positivity that I psychologically just saw everything in an optimistic view. And so that's how I keep my mental toughness.
Did you go to a 2-year college or a 4-year college?
4-year college.
So for 4 years, you listened to positive attitude as much as you could.
Yeah, because that's whatever amazing. You absorb wow. is whatever you're gonna, your output's going
to
be.
So let that me just so say cool. this from the very get-go. Way to go, Morgan.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
And your friends probably thought you're nuts.
Oh, they thought
no,
we're
he
crazy.
Never they let them his headphones. Let's yeah. be real.
No, I'm telling you, when I was studying positive attitude in New Jersey, my friends thought I was out of my freaking mind. I mean, literally, they thought that I had blown it and blown the coop.
What are some of your favorite episodes on your station that our listeners should check out?
My favorite one is the first one because it's Keep a Steady Mindset. So
yeah,
it just talks
one.
About, yeah, it's literally my favorite. It's like, because people think that like when things are low, obviously you need to keep a steady mindset, like don't lose your mind. But the biggest one is when things are going really well, keep a steady mindset. Because if you get so caught up in all your wins and how well you're doing, when you hit a low point, you get so distraught about it that you actually lose the potential to win when the highs come back because you got so caught up in how great everything was and how low things got. So keep a steady mindset is the most important one because if you can't keep a steady mindset and keep your level head, then you're not going to be able to perform all the strategies on that. Another one that I really liked was Jim Brown, really good one, sales trainer out of Indy, talked about how to overcome objections on the phone, like really like taking deep dives with people and challenging them on the phone. I think that's important. Most people don't do really well with cold calls. Another one that I like was with Trish Bertuzzi, where she just talks about the problems in sales development, how we all need to grow. I think those are like my top three that I
Who's Jim
really
Brown?
Enjoyed doing.
Who's Jim Brown?
So yeah, Jim Brown is a sales trainer out of Indianapolis.
Okay, so
what's the next step for you as an SDR rep?
Yeah, where are you going, bud?
I used to want to be a motivational speaker, right, when I came out of college. Yep. And the more that I like studied that word and the more I talked to people, I realized that like I started to hate it. And so I had to like be like, oh, I don't want to be a motivational person because that's temporary, right? I can get you fired up for like a week and then you don't change your habits. But I looked up the word motivator because it's like motivator to me means that like you're transcending, inspiring, and transforming people's lives and you become the embodiment of that person. So something that I studied when I was studying about motivation, inspiration, and the energy levels is that there's four levels of that. So there's uninspired. There's like you become uninspired. So you just like don't want to do anything at all. Like there's literally nothing that you do.
We know
and then you are. Yeah, exactly. Then there's motivated. So that means that like I can get you motivated like from time to time, like for a quarter, you're excited. Next quarter, you're not excited. And then the next one is self-motivated. So that means that like you'll do things by yourself, but you don't have enough energy to go help someone else be motivated. And then the top one is motivator. So about 2-4% of the population is in that. So my whole goal is like to get there. And I feel like I've gotten there in my life thus far. So my thing is I want to be the very best in that echelon. But what you're saying with inspirational and transformational, I want that aspect to be drawn towards people when I speak or in the actions that I do.
Before we get too deep into reviewing this, I want to make sure that I get my thought out with respect to motivation. I belong to the National Speakers Association, and the biggest category of the 4,000 members is motivational speaker. It is the biggest nondescription of anything I've ever heard in my life. I want someone to be informational rather than motivational. I want someone to be inspirational rather than motivational. So I think when he was talking about the four elements of motivation, I think the highest one you can be is an inspirer. You can remember the college professor that inspired you or the business person that inspired you or the friend that inspired you to do something greater. They didn't motivate you. They gave you an idea. My late mentor, the great Earl Pertnoy, inspired me every time I sat with him. He gave me some kind of information. It didn't motivate me. It literally stayed with me forever.
I think you can call it whatever you want, inspiration, motivation, but Morgan Ingram is one hell of a motivator.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and yes, I understand the nuance between the two words, and I agree with you, Jeffrey, but the unfortunately, the word out there that people use
is motivation.
Is motivation. Yeah. They even use it when they're hiring.
I'll tell you
okay,
this,
I want a motivational speaker, even if they actually want an inspirational speaker.
I will tell you this. Every time I've ever heard somebody say that to me, I defy them and say, you don't want somebody motivational. You want someone inspirational. And they think about it and they go, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there's no argument. Right.
It's a semantic point, but it's very relevant in today's world.
Speaking of nuance, in that interview, you kind of dug down deep into the nuance of what it means to be a sales development rep, because it seemed like you both were frustrated with this idea that a sales development rep cannot make a sale.
That's fucking nuts. I'm sorry. I'm going to go there.
Right. I don't know if we should rehash it because we went over it several times in the interview. But what I would ask you, because I'm curious about this, would you just abolish the SDR role in general? I mean, what purpose does it have?
I would change the three letters, and I would call it the sales maker development or the sales order writing.
Again, we're back to semantics here.
We'll workshop it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But the point
is, four or five initials.
I wouldn't get rid of the role. I think that the role is crucial. It's critical to selling. I understand it's needed. What they're doing is great work. But if they form a relationship with the customer, let them take it one step further.
No, don't buy now. I haven't finished
the pitch. I would change the rules of the game.
I agree, Jen. I agree with you 1,000%.
Finally, we're
living in a world of too much detail and not enough order signing.
Yeah, it requires a level of thinking of saying, okay, I know the policy is SDR cannot make a sale, but
The money's on the table.
What are they afraid of? The SDR, like, make it messing up?
No. There's a level of management.
It takes commission away from the salesperson?
There's a level of management that's moronic. And what you have to do is don't change the policy. Just go in and fire the manager that made that rule or fire the leader that made that rule.
Yeah, but it seems to be some sort of standard in the industry that's what SDRs do. They make the calls. They don't make the sales.
Great, so you're going to have a lot of fired middle management people. Maybe they can all join in a group of the non-salespeople group.
I had SDR-type roles. We didn't call it SDR in that day, back at my former company, and they made sales.
Everyone makes sales.
Well, if you had a salesperson early in the game that came to you and said, listen, I've got this opportunity to become an SDR, but you knew this guy could close deals, would you advise them to become an SDR or say, listen, that's maybe not the right role for you because I think you can
close deals.
You can close it.
Right.
I would tell them that's probably not the right role for them. I would want them to get the experience for themselves to close sales. I mean, for me, getting that experience of closing sales and feeling the win after you close a sale.
Of course.
And then making another win because you felt that high from that win. That experience is something you're never going to get back if you skip that step.
Let's say that you hire 10 kids out of college to be SDRs, which is where they're coming from. They're young people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you say, look, you're going to make $12 an hour as an SDR, or if you close a sale, we'll give you 20% of what you make.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I'll close some sales. These people are stupid. Bring me somebody. Let's interview the guy. Let's get an SDR manager in here to talk about why they...
If you're an SDR manager and you want to talk on our show about this topic...
And you want to get your ass kicked all over town.
And you're unafraid.
We would love to have you on the show. Just email sellordie@gitomer.com.
Please. And please. We'll have you on the show next and we'll put you up immediately.
Well... Don't make too many promises.
All right. Well, you'll be next after next.
But we will interview you.
Cool. So we have to go now.
We do?
Well,
oh, no.
We should mention, listen, coffee today was provided by...
Death Wish Coffee, made from the world's most perfectly roasted beans.
And it's funny. I was on I get my morning Owler report, and I always look at what my competitors are doing, and it's always laughable.
Yeah.
It's totally fun to read up on what someone posts and they think is relevant.
Hey, you know, after all that sugar high from Gabrielle's candy this week, this weekend, I'd really like to cook up one of our Strausburger steaks.
Oh, cool. Strausburger steaks, they are the absolute unbelievable best.
They
you
really
know,
are.
They don't give away peeps. I don't know why they don't give away peeps.
It's well, like you the, could give away peeps. There's nothing to say. You can't give away peeps.
No one comes to our door. I've lived here
You're
20
known
years.
As like the Wait, Halloween Grinch or something.
I've lived here
something.
20 years and no one has ever said trick or treat in this place.
Yeah, there's no kids here.
Well, you can't get in the
but
building.
But you could go down to the street level and give away if you wanted.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You could give away peeps.
Oh, it would be my favorite thing. Individual ones or packaged ones? Like, do you tear
well,
them
you
off?
Can't. You can no longer give away stuff that's been opened. That's Ooh, just not okay.
I got it.
Yeah, mothers won't let their kids eat that.
Got no, it. You have to have a safe and happy Halloween tonight. Don't sell and die. Sell or die.
Trick or treat, everybody. I hope all
happy
of your Halloween,
Halloween
candy is Milky Ways.